You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. My scripture is Matthew 27th chapter, 33rd through the 35th verse, and 28th chapter, 5th through the 6th verse. My text is Matthew 27th chapter and the 35th verse, and the 28th chapter, the 5th through the 6th verses, which reads, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. At Golgotha, they crucified him, nailed his hands and feet to the cross, and then reared it up, and him hanging on it. For so the manner of the Romans was to crucify. Let our hearts be touched with the feeling of that exquisite pain which our blessed Savior now endured. And let us look upon him who was thus pierced and felt grief. Was ever sorrow like unto his sorrow? And when we behold what manner of death he died, let us in that behold with what manner of love he loved us. The barbarous and abusive treatment they gave him, in which their mind and evil intent competed which should excel, as if death is so great a death, was not bad enough. They contrived to add to the bitterness and terror of it by the drink they provided for him before he was nailed to the cross. It was usual to have a cup of spiced wine for those to drink of that were to be put to death, according to Solomon's directions, Proverbs 31st, 6th and 7th verse. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, but with that cup which Christ was to drink of, they mangled vinegar and gall to make it sour and bitter. This signified the sin of man, which is a root of bitterness, bearing gall and wormwood. Deuteronomy 29:18. The sinner perhaps rolls it under his tongue as a sweet morsel, but to God it is grapes of gall. Deuteronomy 32:32. It was so to the Lord Jesus when he bare our sins, and sooner or later it will be so to the sinner himself. Bitterness at the latter end, more bitter than death. Ecclesiastes 7:26. It signified the wrath of God, that cup which his Father put into his hand. A bitter cup, indeed, like the bitter water which caused a curse. Numbers 5:18. This drink they offered him, as was literally foretold, Psalm 69:21. And he tasted thereof, so that the worst of it took the bitter taste into his mouth. He let no bitter cup go by him untasted when he was making atonement for all our sinful tasting of forbidden fruit. Now he was tasting death in his full bitterness. He would not drink it because he would not have the best of it. Would have nothing like an opiate to lessen his sense of pain. For he would die so as to feel himself die. Because he had so much work to do as our high priest in his suffering work. By the dividing of his garments, when they nailed him to the cross, they stripped him of his garments, at least his upper garments. For by sin we were made naked to our shame. And thus he purchased for us white raiment to cover us. If we be at any time stripped of our comforts for Christ, let us bear it patiently. He was stripped for us. Enemies may strip us of our clothes, but cannot strip us of our best comforts, cannot take from us the garments of praise. After Jesus' crucifixion and burial, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. An angel was there and encouraged them against their fears. To come near the graves and tombs, especially in silence and solitude, had something in it frightful. Much more was it so to those women to find an angel at the sepulcher. But he soon made them easy with the word, "Fear not ye." The keepers shook and became as dead men. But fear not ye, for the sinners in Zion be afraid, for there is cause for it. But fear not Abraham, nor any of the faithful seed of Abraham. Why should the daughters of Sarah that do well be afraid with any amazement? 1 Peter 3:6. Fear not ye, let not the news I have to tell you be any surprise for you. For you were told before that your master would rise. Let it be no terror to you, for his resurrection will be your consolation. Fear not any hurt that I will do you, nor no evil tidings I have to tell you. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. I know you are friends to the cause. I do not come to frighten you, but to encourage you. Ye seek Jesus that was crucified. He mentions his being crucified the more to commend their love to him. You seek him still, though he was crucified. You retain your kindness for him notwithstanding. He assures them of the resurrection of Christ, and there was enough in that to silence their fears. He is not here, for he is risen. To be told he is not here would have been no welcome news to those who sought him. If it had not been added, he is risen. There were those that knew Christ after the flesh, but now henceforth know we him so no more. 2 Corinthians 5:16. It is true, he had a body, but it is now a glorified body. Our communion with him must be spiritual, by faith in his word. Romans 10:6-9. We must seek him with great reverence and humility and an awful regard to his glory. For he is risen. God has exalted him and given him a name above every name. And therefore every knee and every soul must bow before him. We must seek him with a heavenly mind. When we are ready to make this world our home, and to say, it is good to be here. Let us remember our Lord Jesus is not here. He is risen. And therefore, let not our hearts be here, but let them rise too and seek the things that are above. Colossians 3:1-3 and Philippians 3:20. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus lives now and forevermore. Therefore, let us be obedient to his will. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." John 14:2-3. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is soul satisfaction. The world's best-selling book, the Bible, teaches that a person is more than just a body. Each of us is a living soul. The Hebrew name for soul, nafshah, means living being, and the Greek name for soul, souche, means to breathe. Our souls are created in the image of God, and God has implanted his own nature within us and given us the breath of life. Just as our bodies have specific characteristics and appetites, so do our souls. The characteristics of the soul include intelligence, emotions, and will. The human soul longs for peace, contentment, and happiness. Most of all, the soul has an appetite for God, a yearning to be reconciled to its Creator and to have fellowship with Him forever. In our world, we give most of our attention to satisfying the appetites of the body, like food, clothing, and security, and practically none to the soul. Consequently, we are one-dimensional. We become physically and materially large while remaining spiritually anemic. The soul demands as much attention as the body. It demands fellowship and communion with God. It demands worship, quietness, prayer, and meditation. Nothing but God ever completely satisfies, because the soul was made for Him. Jesus said in Matthew, the 22nd chapter and 37th verse, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Please don't starve your soul, for what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Remember, we have all violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey his word, and take action for your soul satisfaction.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Apostle Joyce Cranfield. Please join me every Saturday at 8:45 a.m. for the Rose of Sharon Radio Ministry to hear a message from the Word of God.
Good afternoon. Thank you and your staff for your excellent work at broadcasting Christian music and gospel messages all day long. I really appreciate it, as well as my family. God bless you all.
Things change, plans fail. You look for love on a grander scale. Storms rise, hopes fade, and you place your bets on another day. When the going gets tough,